砂ぼこりが巻き上がる。限界超える時に来る。新世界への冒険と流星の雨。
Hey everyone, welcome back to Intergen Chat, episode 12, recording for March 11th. I have Steve with me.
Yo, yo, yo.
And we're going to talk about, you know, the weekly anime stuff and whatnot, some news here and there. But yeah, so let's jump right into the news. Rurouni Kenshin creator, I guess, is being fined for having a massive collection of child porn. I read something about this, so I was like, it's a little kind of sad for people that really like Rurouni Kenshin. I know of Rurouni Kenshin just because of the anime back on Toonami back in the day when it ran. Yeah. So to me, this news is kind of a shocker, but then it's kind of like, well, and I haven't really read any of his latest works, and I'm not the biggest Rurouni Kenshin fan, but still, I could feel that people would be a little upset about this. The diehard fans, anyway.
I mean, I remember reading about it, too. It's always one of those things where it's like, you think, oh, that's not bad, but then, you know, child porn is never good to have. I mean, although I will at least add the asterisk, I'm a little curious because I didn't really read into the details. Because I know at one point they were talking about even things like drawn things were considered child porn. I don't know if that's necessarily the case. But honestly, it's a little shocking that it just made a fine. And like, you know, because especially in America, I guess, if you get found with child porn, you get serious. You can get jail time for many years.
Right.
They do not tread lightly. So it's a little interesting. Maybe again, child porn might be asterisks because, you know, we don't know. I don't know what kind he had on. Mm. So maybe it was drawn stuff, which is why it was only a fine. But it's never good.
That's the weird thing about the Japanese law and all that. Like, over here, it's like, if it's just 2D images and you're in your own personal your house, you're not really filling it out, whatever you want to say. But it's like, does that still count technically? If it's just like 2D cartoon drawings of that. So it's a weird line that they have to.
I know at one point they were talking about in America, like even drawn things would be considered child porn. But I don't know if that ever passed. But yeah, it's a weird fuzzy line.
Right, because even like fan arts, I get in trouble with that sometimes on DeviantArt. I'll post a picture and then they're like, oh, this character's under age. I'm like, oh, not really. But yeah, it's always a weird line how people, there's, you know. It's weird to say like that. Let's see. Chihai Furu, we get a third season in 2019, which is pretty exciting. I remember watching half the second season. I got to get back into it. It hit a point in the series where I was just like, I'm bored.
we're not the best to talk about it. Jiro and Armro are huge fans. Me, I really couldn't get past the first like 3 or 4 episodes. I was just like, I'm not really into this. So...
yeah, to me, it's almost like a little bit like March comes in like a lion. That kind of, it's like, it's either you like it and you're dedicated and stay with it, or you're just not that into it at a certain point, you know?
Exactly.
Next, the Hero Academy, third season, which everyone kind of knew about, is getting 25 episodes, which I was like, no surprise there. Second season had as many episodes too, so.
I know, it's always one of those things where it was a question mark because season one, you know, only had 12. But again, I think, you know, that's the perfect formula for me. I hope every year we get 25 episodes because I'm all on board for that because that's, you know, that gives a chance for the manga to actually, you know, get some distance between it. We don't get any crappy filler. You know, it's kind of like the perfect scenario. And I wish more, you know, series would do that. That way we stop seeing a lot of the filler we do in these long-running shonen anime. Because, like, even shows like One Piece, like, I love One Piece, but the filler has practically killed the show for me. It's hard to sit through and watch some of it because it's just, like, so much filler. I mean, and they have to because they caught so far up. But, yeah, it's just a little bit of a bummer. So I'm glad this series has taken in a whole future big shonen title series to the same.
Right, yeah. It also makes me wish that they could have enough to just do like a One Piece thing with Boku no Hero where it keeps going for a year. But I understand you gotta how it works nowadays. You can't have a show like that run Especially the production quality it has.
I mean, it makes the show similar to any old American TV series. I mean, we have what, like, each season has between, most shows have between, at least network series have,
Right.
between, 18 to 24 episodes, and then that's a series season, and then you gotta wait a few months and do it. Like, that's fine with me. Like, I can get a break, and then get some more, because that just allows me to enjoy the series more. As long as I stop at a decent point and don't like stop in the middle of an arc and go, and then you go, crap.
Yep. Meanwhile, Attack on Titans fans are like, why don't we get a season 3 or Index? But I know Index is coming out sometime this year, hopefully. But
Yeah.
yeah, I know a lot of people are probably kind of salty about this too, that why did they get a third season when, my favorite show only got two or one? But, it's like,
Yeah.
it's popular.
It always is the case. I mean,
Yeah.
hey, I'm just happy that next month we're gonna finally get, after since what was it, 2005, I believe, or 2007 maybe, was the last time we had a Full Metal Panic series.
It's been
So,
like tossed around like so many times. Like, it's coming out. No, it's not. It's coming out. It's like, oh, come on. Like, they tease so much with that.
I've actually been taking it upon myself to go ahead and marathon, both season one, Fumofu, and the second raid
Yeah.
too. And I absolutely love the fact that they actually the what they named it too. I don't know if you saw the name of what they're calling it, but they're calling it Full Metal Panic Invisible Victory. Which might sound stupid, but if you shorten it, it's what? Full Metal Panic IV 4 for Roman numerals. This is perfect.
That's
So,
pretty
yeah. And so, yes, Fumofu is canon.
Next little news, Kumuriko Ikara, which I guess he does the Penguin Drum and Yuri Bears, is doing another anime with MAPPA in 2019, so that's kind of exciting. Even though all his series are kind of like mind screws, they're very hard to digest for some people. I mean, I don't claim to know everything that goes in the shows, but they're pretty interesting. I mean, a lot of symbolism, I would say.
Yeah, I'm not the biggest fan.
Yeah.
Again, this is more Jero. Jero loves this guy, or is this a girl? I don't
Yeah, guy.
know. But I do. I did like Penguin Drum, so that was a good series. And MAPPA is an incredible studio, so I'm gonna look forward to it at least.
Oh yeah, definitely. If anything, it'd be visually appealing. I mean, that's the one thing about his shows. They're visually just very cool looking. He has a good, I guess, eye for design and stuff like that. But yeah.
And I will go ahead and I will reveal to the world Jero's Wi-Fi password is a phrase from that show, from Penguin Drum. So yeah, he definitely does love that series.
Probably the only one that they say out. But yeah, let's jump into right into the anime. Steve, I guess you go first with yours. What are you still watching?
One of the series I definitely wanted to talk about was Grand Crest. Grand Crest Senki has been one of those shows when I was, as I said, mentioned at the beginning, when we first started watching it, I was a little more iffy because I wasn't into that whole feudal kind of, oh, these are feudal people fighting over each other. Because in the end, I'm like, who really gives a shit? They're just killing each other. How many people are in this country that they can have these mass wars like this and just keep murdering each other? But anyway, the series has absolutely been fantastic, and especially the last few episodes where we had some huge shift in the story. And even so I really wanted to talk about that. We already kind of hinted at that at on the Facebook page, and you were like, we don't want to spoil it yet. But for those who don't know, I really want to talk about the storyline because we finally got kind of the story about the princess herself. She basically decided to align herself with I can't even remember his name, some Mirza, and so aligning herself with Mirza, and then basically this was kind of like the big story, or I guess the big like, ooh, I can't believe she did that. Basically, Mirza said, "Yeah, I'll follow you, Marine, but you gotta lay with me." And she was like, I'm a virgin. Is that okay? He's like, yes. And so he had this kind of big scene with her. And I guess the question was whether or not do you feel sorry for her for that? And the big answer to that was that it was kind of a shocking point in the series, but man, I don't feel sorry for her at all. Like, first off, she could have said no. Second off, in that episode alone, it really makes you despise her character. I mean, you're sitting there and Alexis, you meet Alexis, and Alexis is like the nicest dude ever, right? And he's this pretty prince, and he's fallen in love with her, and she wants us to, elude strength. But in that episode, you start to very much dislike her because, it's all about let's meet on the battlefield and be honorable. But she sits there and pretty much commits a war crime by sending in, gas into a whole place and kills every single one of them. Like, it's just like you see something like that, and it's like, do you really feel sorry for her? I mean, just because she's pretty, should I feel sorry for her? And that answer is no. I really thought that was such a great episode because it did have a really good focus, and we also, got more relationship between Theo and Silica in that episode. And it was just kind of like a great episode in general, and in good discussion material too. And then even this week's episode was pretty great because, we finally had Mirza. He's like he's gonna start attacking Villar, and you get to see that kind of fight break out and how it is to attack the country. And it was kind of a cool moment because Mirza is such a great villain because he's so like I can kill everyone I want, kind of guy. So I really am looking forward to. I'm kind of hoping in the next episode, we're gonna get. It looks like we might get some more conflict between Mirza and Villar, like actual fight, and that could be pretty cool. But it really is. It is though, and this is the one thing I'm a little disappointed in. But I guess it makes sense. They really are making sure just to kind of. I feel like they're saying these guys are the villains. I can't remember the name of them. I know one's the Alliance. I don't remember what the name of the other group is, but it's very clear because Mirza murders his father just for that Pootie Tang, and. And of course she commits a massive war crime. So I feel like before it was like they're just two sides and I didn't really, but now it's like it feels more like we got a clear villain here. Like the other side is doing things that are much worse. And so I am curious to see how this all plays out. And I'm predicting a big death from Villar. Unfortunately, I feel like his death is imminent, and just it's one of those things where because you're pushing Theo, Theo's got to be the guy that unite the crest or whatever, right?
Right.
So I feel like they're pushing that it's gonna happen is Villar's gonna die and Theo's gonna have to step up, but it'll be interesting to see where everything goes. I mean, again, this is a 24 episode series, so we're not even halfway in. So I mean, and the show moves at a very lightning pace. Which is very nice, actually. So, I mean, story is progressing. I mean, in fact, sometimes it progressed a little too fast. We made that complaint before, but it's nice to see it progress, and it makes me wonder where everything's going. It does make me very curious. I'm just kind of hoping that some of this more, because I can't remember what it's called, like the dark matter, villainous miasma, all that stuff. I was hoping that would play a bigger role. That really hasn't, but I'll be curious to see if that does start to play a role later on. It'd be less the, I guess, military versus military.
Yeah, that's the one thing about the show that surprised me. I mean, I'm only three, four behind, but just like you said, just how fast it is, how they get stuff done, and yeah, like you said, they're definitely all making Theo to be like the it hero eventually. He's gonna do something then. But yeah, the last time I watched it was I think you got the two werewolf sisters or the maids. I like them. Just thought it was funny. It's the voice actors that they played. One's Ranka from Macross Frontier, and the other one's Freya from Macross Delta. So they're both Macross main characters. that are now in this together. It's pretty funny.
That's actually one thing I do think is a little interesting is I bet you, because this is based off light novel series, I believe.
Right, it is.
So, but they have so many characters that you see and you're like, wow, those are going to be kind of a cool addition to the cast. And then it's like, you really don't see them very much. Like, you know,
No.
the Wolf Girls join and they have maybe a couple scenes since then. And you don't really see them at all. Even in the last episode, they introduced this guy. He's like, they introduce him in a grand fashion and they call him like the theater king because he loves theater. And it's just like kind of a short-lived role for a character that you feel like is very fleshed out, you know. For a character with a lot of personality, you think that that kind of character might have some longevity in the series. But again, maybe it's just because the books, they give them more. Because this is a show, they're kind of just rushing through it a little bit. But yeah, it's I do find that interesting, and it does, I guess, give all the characters more weight behind them, even if they, you know, come in and leave, like, you know, because I mean, again, even like Aishela, you know, her friend, the mage friend, you know, she was gonna be an important role in the series, and she's not showed up since like episode 3 or 4 or something like that.
Right, or the priest girl, which I know she did some healing in one of the episodes, but I did think it was very weird that they cut to like vampires, werewolves. I'm like, am I watching the same anime still? Like, I'll check the list. I'm like, I don't. This is weird that they introduced vampires, the idea of that, and werewolves. I'm like, a little weird, but I can roll with it. But it just seemed weird. To me, it seemed kind of out of the blue. But yeah,
I mean
I get there's monsters, but werewolves, vampires? Like, sure, why
it's a
not?
fantasy world.
Yeah.
I do kind of accept that, and I like that because it gives more variety than
Yeah.
just, you know, Joe Schmo fighting, you know, a different guy just because they want the land or the glory.
But then I was like, well,
So
there is magic, so that can fill in the gaps of why there's these supernatural creatures. As long as they're like zombie want undead, like I'm waiting for like a Lich King or some crap.
I'm sure there will be.
Yeah, probably. In my show I'm currently watching Cardcaptor Sakura, the Clear Card arc. It's more like nostalgia for a lot of people. I didn't really grow up watching much of Cardcaptors. I kind of forgot most of it, but lately they've been doing this kind of interesting thing where they revisit like the past series where they reference it, and they go to this aquarium where Sakura caught this card before, so they go back there. It's like not really reusing the artwork from that show because the artwork is completely different. There's even like a scene last episode where looking through a photo album and it literally looks like screenshots from the old anime in her photo album, and the artwork is completely different. So I mean, it's kind of cool how they incorporated the old show into the new one a little bit just by showing like a still image. Like, it works as a picture because it is old. I mean, so it's kind of interesting how they worked that in there. But so far I'm enjoying it because they're kind of the same cards that she's catching in the first series, but they kind of like reword them and they're used differently. There's one that she's got now. It's called I forget what it does, but it makes like a black hole, so it pulls you towards it, so she can throw it on a wall and like fly, and it pulls her to it. Interesting how she can maneuver areas now with that cards like that. We got our typical ones like the fly cards for that, but it's interesting. And they're doing a storyline where they have this new character who's got this big mystery about her that they're hinting at. It might be Sakura's mom from the past, that she was just like her mom, a card captor, because she has the same kind of hair color. She's drawn to Sakura naturally. They were hanging out, and she kind of almost like she knows something about Sakura, that I'm your mom or something, but she can't tell her because she also has like a magical fairy thing that follows her around. It's a stuffed animal, but it hasn't moved yet. But the design is like, come on, it's literally, we know it's gonna wake up sometime. So,
Yeah.
but yeah, I mean, it's interesting what they're doing. I'm not sure if that's entirely true, but the other girl, her card, like, he has like this magic book with a bunch of clocks on it. So that's why people have the theory that it might be her mom. And would it explain why she has magic in her family? If mom hadn't magic, that's probably where her daughter got it from. So, because the dad doesn't have any, obviously. The brother doesn't have any. So I'm waiting for that. But yeah, I'm enjoying that. What's your next show you're watching?
I kind of want to give an update on also Death March. You know, this was a show where we were both like, I think both of us said that this wasn't the worst thing in the world, but it might be if it's just this. And I think we said if it was just like that, you know, daily life stuff. But surprisingly enough, it's really actually gotten deep into the story. And that's actually been something I've been a little bit surprised about. We had this whole basically kind of like, I guess, mini arc. It was only really two episodes. Although, to be fair, it's only 12 episodes a series, so what can you say? But, you know, it involved, you know, our main character, Satu, or Sato, how do you say it? And he was basically trying to rescue a elf princess who got captured by a dark wizard mage. I don't remember his name. But one thing I just find interesting is how much more the series has kind of opened up in terms of the story. You know, mentioning even that the dark mage person, not just the fact that Arisa, you know, one of the girls he met, turns out she was reincarnated from another world, but even Arisa herself, you know, Arisa herself, you know, was from the another world, as well as the Dark Mage was reborn from this other, from the, I guess, our Earth. I guess it's the best way to put it.
Right, yeah, that part was interesting, like you said, the reveal that she explained like how it happens and stuff, and how his might be a little bit different than hers, because she was speaking Japanese and everything. I was like, yeah, she knew about all that stuff, and like that was interesting, I admit. Like, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, exactly. And it's really fleshing the world out a little bit more. And even him, because it's weird because because we keep thinking of it like a game. And she's like, yeah, I've been reincarnated here after being dead. And, you know, he's like, some people have come here and they're like the heroes, but he came here and he was like a developer. And so, of course, we keep seeing like the title. I love the titles. The titles are some funny stuff. Because sometimes you'll see a weird title pop up, and even he will comment, I don't want that title.
Right, like a mini achievement or something that's unlocked.
Yeah,
Like,
exactly.
what?
And so I really kind of like that, how it's using the RP, or you know, the MMORPG elements too there. But even still, like as I said, I was saying, the storyline, like they've even kind of, he's even somewhat hacked the system, I guess you could say, where he. Because, like as I said, he was chasing the guy, and he kind of jumped into his world, and it was like a blank nothingness, and it felt like it's like giving this world a little more curiosity, like what exactly is this world? Because as a developer, he seems to have some sort of hacking capabilities to get things, and it's just interesting seeing this all flush out and how they're playing some things out. So, I mean, I've just been like. My interest, like, I still think that this series, like, if, like, don't make you think like I'm saying this is the best series ever. It's still very average. And for, you know, a guy being transported to another world series, it doesn't stand out. But it does do things that at least make me appreciate it and doesn't just follow the same formula. And that's what I'm kind of liking. Is again, it's doing a lot of that RPG, you know, we see a lot of the HUDs at times. And just the way he kind of does some things, and even like, you know, he's dodging something, and then you see in the screen proc, you know, proc ability. This he's using this ability. Oh, he's proc deception, you know. And it just kind of makes the series a little more unique and fresh, and that's what I've been kind of liking about it. So, I just think that it's one of those shows where I'm kind of glad we didn't completely write it off because I feel like it's been worth my time. And even on days where like I'll sit there and I'll have a whole list of stuff to watch, I'll be like, I think I'm gonna watch Death March first. Not necessarily because I think it's the best thing, but it's kind of like the easiest and most chill series to consume because I know like I haven't been bored of it. Like even some shows I've been watching like Gakuen Babysitters. I like Gakuen Babysitters. I mean, it's been a very interesting, fun series and emotional series at times, but I've been bored in some of those episodes. I don't really think of one episode of Death March I watched and I got kind of bored while watching. So, at the bare minimum, it's staying entertaining to me, which is something I do enjoy to that extent that I can because I know I won't get tired or sleepy. And so that's why I kind of like starting with it sometimes. But, it's again, if you like those off-world series, or even if you kind of like wrote this one off, it might be at least worth checking out again because it does at least, you know, come into its own.
Yeah, and I was going to mention that Arisa in episode 6 was pretty funny. She's trying her best to seduce the main guy. It's pretty funny. Using her magic and stuff. And like, tells her later, "Don't do that ever again." Like, it caused so many misunderstandings.
Yeah.
But I'm like, it doesn't the mind of the blonde, does it reset every day? 'Cause it's a game. I was like, eh, probably not.
I mean, Arisa is actually turns out to be one of the more interesting characters,
Yeah.
and I think because she is from, our Earth, it gives a little bit more dynamic between Satu, whatever, and him
Right.
and her. So,
Which has really been done in these trapped MMO type of animes. Usually it's always the main guy. He's the only one that's been from the real world. Everyone else is an NPC or something else. It's like, eh. Besides
I
Sword
mean,
Art, I
and.
mean,
Yeah,
yeah.
but I mean, even the character Lulu, which I don't know if you gotten to this point, but they mentioned Lulu is a descendant of someone who came from the world, so that even that so it, this has been happening for a while now,
Right.
and again, just makes me more curious. I doubt we'll ever get answers. I mean, this is only a 12-episode
Yeah.
series, and we're like what, maybe one or two episodes away from it ending. And this might be that kind of show that never gets any sequel ever, and it was only created just because, to sell light novels.
Right, or they had that laying around the side, like, well, we got the license, just use it. And we can do something later with it.
I mean, it is Silverlink though, and that gives it. Silverlink does at least like to do some sequel stuff, so maybe we will. But who knows? I doubt it though. But yeah, we'll have to wait and see.
Right. Yeah, Silverlink, they're pretty good at doing the sequel or whatever. But they also do a lot of, like, lolly.
Well, there's a
Yeah.
lot of lolly
So,
in this.
yeah, definitely, they're probably doing another one.
Whoever runs Silverlink is most definitely a lolly fan.
Oh,
I'm
yeah,
sure
definitely.
that person and Amuro would get along fantastically.
Right. And for my last show, I'll talk about Darling in the Franxx, which continues to be interesting. Lately, I know there's been a little lull in the episode where it hasn't been about robots fighting. It's been about the characters, which I kind of appreciate that they're building up the characters before we get into the over-the-top trigger, Gurren Lagann type fighting we're going to be getting, which I hope. But kind of same time, I'm kind of don't want that. I kind of want something different, but we'll see how it goes. I think last time left off, we were like, they went to, I guess, one of the abandoned cities. They found a bunch of stuff there. Found some book, a book that one of the girls took about babies, which, of course, because the show is all about, I guess, growing up adolescence and stuff like that. Apparently, some people are saying anyway. And but yeah, so far I'm enjoying it. I love what they're doing with the characters. They're finally making Zero Two kind of enjoyable with the kid characters. She kind of, even though most of them don't really care for her too much, this latest episode they kind of showed that Zero Two might be warming up to the fact that she's in a team finally. So, but yeah. So, what are you enjoying so far about? Are you still watching?
So you caught up to even watch like yesterday's episode?
Yep. No. Yep. The other one.
Yeah, one thing I kind of agree. I think I'm not sure about you, but I believe we're kind of have that similar opinion about Trigger. We're not necessarily huge Trigger fans about the over the top stuff, right?
I kind of like a little bit of both, but at the same time, it does get old after a while. It's like, yeah, there's something different.
So I have been kind of enjoying the character stuff too. I feel like the problem I'm having a little bit of like I like episode 9 was pretty good. Focusing on Goro and Ichigo's relationship. I did like that storyline quite a bit, but I do feel like they're really they're, one thing I do like. Well, let me get to what I really like. I like how they've definitely set this kind of expectation for the characters and how. Things we take for granted. And I think this series is doing a good job of making sure we recognize that this is, these are kids that are being raised for a purpose. They've been in a laboratory basically being raised. So they don't understand simple things like, what love is and they kind of have this kind of obscure view of the world because of it. So I've been enjoying that kind of growth of the characters and kind of seeing how, well, I'm in love with her. it's special. I like
Right.
the special,
The
she's a special
realization, yeah.
person.
Like,
Yeah,
he just,
so
like,
it.
last week, he just realized that, wait a minute, this is not a friendship feeling, this is something else. Which is pretty
Exactly.
nice. Like I said, since they're, I always often forget that they're they weren't, you know, put into a normal school. So there's probably been a lot of things they've been, you know, not taught, obviously, love and all that, because, like, can't really have that going on. And if there's a fight going on, like a battle, if the characters are, like, constantly, you know, attached to each other or off doing something else they shouldn't be, how do you, you know, defend
Exactly.
the base if, you know, they're constantly just, you know, at each other? You know, it's like, yeah, you gotta kind of, I often forget that.
Yeah, but I have been, I kind of do understand why people might be a little bit more frustrated, because yeah, the last three episodes for sure have been, you know, not a lot going on. Even the action in episode 9 was not much. You know, mostly involved the guy sitting in you know, water
It was
forever.
very like an Evangelion episode, I remember. Well, the same thing happened too, where one of the mechs gets stuck in something and he can't get out, and he has a choice. He's probably gonna die if he stays in there, and it's filling with liquid and all that. And it's very similar to those episodes. But yeah, last three episodes to me, I felt like they've been kind of bashing you over the head with the whole love thing. That, oh, they're, you know, they're learning. And yeah, but yeah, I can agree that people probably would be annoyed by that, like.
Yeah, again, this is a 24 episode series though, so I'm willing to not just sit there and mellow on
Right. If
that, you know.
we're like 12 episodes and we're actually at 9 now, yeah, I'd be pissed.
Yeah, exactly. And that's exactly, I would be so upset if this was a 12 episode series, because there's so much more we don't know that I'm definitely curious to find out about the world and, you know, how the Klaxosauruses have come to being,
Is it going to
and
be revealed that the humans created the Klaxosaur? You know, how did Dr. Frank build these robots? You know, what's wrong with him? Why is he like half machine? You know.
exactly. And like, you know, what the front line, like they keep mentioning front line is very different from where they are right now. So I just want to kind of see all that play out.
Same
And
here.
that kind of makes me more curious to see. But again, because it's 24 episodes, they have plenty of time to cover it. Just right now, it is a st they're, I think what they're doing is they're really focusing hard on the characters, just because, you know, that's one thing Trigger does do a lot of is when they do have a show, they tend to like to at least showcase the characters. So maybe they're just developing them a lot so we can kind of get to like them before they actually start killing some of them off. Because, you know, at least one or two of them are going to die.
I picture some of them have to die. I mean, you know, you got the Kuroko, the big blonde girl. She, you know, has this book about babies and stuff. She's protective of that, and you can slowly see where there's some side shippings going on. You got the kid that like is alone in the greenhouse while watering the plants,
Mitsuru.
and she shows up, and both of them kind of have this little conversation, and it's very surprising. Like, these two would actually probably get along way better than the current partner he has that doesn't talk at all. I think, like, you know, those two would get along. But they're kind of doing this side thing where some characters that are partnered together now maybe aren't the best for each other. That maybe they're going to swap them around. Not as far as fighting goes, but as far as, like, the, you know, interaction between each other is probably going to shift.
Well, yeah, I kind of hope they do because, you know, when you have such a big cast, I mean, pretty much all like the pilots are considered main characters in the series, at least according to websites. So, I would hope, and this is something that I think like every show with a large cast needs to do at some point, like even something like The Walking Dead or, you know, Flash, or even, you know, you need to have episodes where you have other characters get along with other characters, and I would like to see that too. I would like to see more. Maybe we have an episode with Zorome getting along with Hiro, or you know, Goro and Ikuno doing a storyline. You know, something that at least kind of at least gives more dynamic to this the characters. But again, it is 24 episodes, so you know, it's another thing where, you know, Flash and you know, Walking Dead can get away with it because you're talking about multiple years and seasons. So, but we'll just have to wait and see how that all kind of plays out.
But yeah, as far as other pairing, I wouldn't mind seeing like Zero-Two hanging out with, like, I don't know, the loud mouth little kid, that kid. Those two together would be funny because he's very, you know, kind of pervy lately because he's learning about his body and everything. I would say the best episode I liked was the where the girls kind of like get mad at the guys because they're fighting a monster and they're It's like this slime that leaks into the cockpit of the robots and it eats their outfits, and they're like, "Why didn't you say anything?" Because they're too busy staring.
Oh, no, they weren't staring. They didn't want to distract them. Come on,
Right.
everyone knows
That
that.
was the easy one of the funniest moments so far. But at the same time, they're like, people are bitching about it. They're like, "Oh my God, why did is he, being turned on by seeing her like that, but he doesn't know what love is?" I was like, "Well, it's probably basic human, I don't know, way we were built, I guess, Like we don't really know about
Yeah.
love, but being excited about something else, it's not built into like our body,
Yeah, it's
like,
physiology,
right, exactly."
so
So there are people are mad about
some.
that. Like, "Well, all of a sudden now," I'm like, "Well, that's because of that, and because it's not supposed to be meant to be taken serious." It's played off as being
Yeah.
comical.
Yeah, I mean, there's some things you kind of have to kind of accept because this is a show,
Anime.
it's you just kind of have to accept this is a part of the world. So I feel like that's one of the things that you just kind of have to give up. Guys are attracted to girls. I mean, well, excuse me. Let's be all inclusive here. There could one of them might have been gay, but it is a physiology thing. And these are all young teenagers. So,
Right.
that's when you start actually, looking at other people going, So it's not too surprising.
Right. Which can be taken as a hint of where things are going. They're obviously progressing, these characters. So now they're starting to, get along better. And just like the episode, that same episode where Zero Two is kind of, she's jumping around a lot. And that, the animation, I was just like, wow, this is pretty fun to watch. And at the end, she's smiling and being all happy. And like, because everyone was being so serious, that's why she jumped in. To make them, rile them up, which is interesting. And I'm curious what they're doing with her character. I know they're trying to make her more likable, more human. So I'm also wondering, as she gets along with these kids, is she gonna like lose the horns? Is she gonna start becoming more human, less monster-like? Because she, in the last episode, she actually sort of kind of cared about the other kid, but not really. She just told him, "Well, you gotta do this or that, or he blows up." And she was quiet for the rest of the episode. So I was talking to Ichigo near the end. But I like that. Ichigo and her, Zero Two, kind of they're talking a little bit here and there. They're fun to watch.
Well, again, they're as I said, the whole cast is considered main, so I think if we this was like any other series, Zero Two would be pretty much the focus 90% of the time, or at least her and Hiro, and then maybe every once in a while Ichigo would be the monkey wrench thrown in the mix. But the fact that this series does at least want to make sure you recognize that all the characters are at least somewhat important to the series, Zero Two will inevitably take the back seat sometimes, like in the last episode.
Oh yeah, definitely. Anything else to say about it? I mean, so far I'm enjoying it. I think we might be getting some mech battles here soon. Like I said, the front line, just a lot of things that they still haven't talked about. And I think one reveal, obviously, that they're, I guess, technically on Earth because of the ruins of the old city, and there's a beach nearby. And the beach episode, I guess I should mention that. Oh, it's funny how they're like, "We're on the beach alone away from the adults," and it's like not literally like a couple yards from the colony. Like, I guess you're away from the adults. Like, sure, why not? But yeah, I guess I was kind of like hinting at that. Yeah, this is on Earth, sort of technically. The old ruins are an old city, but you don't know if that's an old colony that got destroyed or what that is, really is. But anything else to talk about before we wrap this up?
No, saying pretty good. I mean, this season's, closely wrapping up, which is going to be sad because there's been a lot of good shows. At least a lot of shows I've been really enjoying. But next season looks to be amazing.
Oh
We
yeah.
definitely need to do an episode coming up where we talk about what we're looking forward to next season because I have a lot to say to that. I mean, you
Right.
got everything from a new Tokyo Ghoul series, which I know is very controversial. But Persona 5 is getting anime. As I said, Full Metal Panic's coming back. Hero Academia. I mean, holy crap, next season's gonna be amazing.
I wonder if you guys are excited for that Megalo box about boxing. I think there's that. And I think there's one about this guy has robotic arms who fights in these boxing tournaments. That's really cool. I'm not sure when that's coming out, but yeah.
Haven't heard about that one yet.
It's been a while for a boxing anime, I guess, is what we're saying. But yeah, I guess it's been a while. I guess that's it for this episode. We'll see you guys next week for another chat and more episodes. See you guys later.